Did somebody say NBL?
Alrighty-o, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NBL Pocket Podcast, episode 5, round 12. A couple of games this round, let's not mess around, let's get straight into it. I bought an exercise book this week, so I'm a little bit, my notes are a little bit more intact. Let's start with the first game of the round, Cairns versus Brisbane. Cairns get up in this one, 109-80. Cairns had the one win coming into this game. And Brisbane still hovering around 4th and 5th place. It's a bad loss for Brisbane. Scoring breakdown. 24 points for Cairns in the first quarter compared to Brisbane's 18. Cairns with 28 to 25 in the second. Cairns 37 to 17 in the third quarter. And then 20 to 20 in the last quarter. That third quarter is where Cairns did it. They just shot like crazy. Standout performance for Cairns. You had Jawai. He started, had 22.5 minutes. Bunch of good stats. Devin Hall was the big one. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 80% from the field, 6 of 8 from the free throws, 75%. Jared Kenny, sort of a mid-range guy for them. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 67%, 3 of 3 from downtown. Helps when you hit threes. For Brisbane, no Cam Besto sitting out. Apparently he was hurt. Most would probably suggest that he was resting. They've got a game later on in the round that he was saving him for. Now we go to Brisbane. No one really played that great outside of, other than Lamar Patterson, who had 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists of 64% shooting. Jeremy Kendall, 13 points, 50%, 3 assists, only played 20 minutes, one of his bigger minute games. But thumbs down for the Brisbane Bullets. Jason Kadee, 7 points, 33% shooting, did not play well in this one at all. And poor Cam Glidden had the day from hell, was totally taken out of the game. 1 point, didn't score from the field of 3, 23 minutes. Next thing we're looking at is the biggest team stat discrepancies. Three categories spring to mind. 3-point field goals, Cairns, 14 of 24 for 58%, whereas Brisbane, only 7 of 19, 37%. I mean, that's a whole, forget the percentages, that's a whole 7 3-pointers more. That's 21 points. You look at the scoreline, that explains most of it. Assists, Cairns 22 to 14. The commentators were talking about it in Cairns' second game of the round this week, which was against Sydney. The ball was up. The ball was up off the ground. Melo Trimble had a decent game in this one, but not his usual big stat night of 20-plus, 20 and 10 sort of thing. And the assist count really suggests that, 22 to 14. Turnover points, Cairns 22, Brisbane 12. So Brisbane made mistakes, but they made bad mistakes that equated for points straight back the other way. The question coming out of this game is, have Brisbane ruined their season? You know, they now move to 9-9, I believe. After this game, they moved to 9-9. And, you know, Adelaide and them are right on the cusp and with New Zealand pushing. So we'll discuss that later on. Kadee is a worry. Jason Kadee for Brisbane is a worry. He's been under double figure scoring in 3 of the past 4 games. He had 7 against Cairns in this one. The game before, he had 11 in Illawarra on 44% shooting. Against Sydney, he only had 8 points. Against Perth, he only had 6 points, all under sort of 40%. So that was too bad. You got to remember, coming into this game in round 1, Cairns beat Brisbane at a similar scoreline, 80 to 78 at Brisbane. So I don't know, maybe Cairns have kind of got Brisbane's number a little bit. Hard to say. Cairns won that first game with a huge fourth quarter, 28-16. This time they do it in the third. Kadee and Glidden were better in that game, but not great. Just 10 and 11 points, respectively. Melo Trimble went off in that game. So I think with this game, we're seeing the maturation of Cairns, where they're going away from Melo Trimble. In that one win, he had 32 points, 61% shooting. What we're seeing now is more of a, they're playing off Jawai. It looked okay in this game. It looked better. It looked better against Sydney, even in the loss, unfortunately. We look at that third quarter. Let's dissect it a bit more, where they had that 20-point scoring differential. Brisbane were down 9 to start the quarter. First touch into Juwai, smacks into the chest of Hodgson, and two free throws. Juwai is big. I mean, Matt Hodgson's a big guy, but Juwai is so big and strong. I mean, he weighs 150 and he looks like he's carrying 200. You know, really big guy. I think, and this was brought up by the commentator Cam Tregar, DJ Newball and Hall, Devin Hall, were coming off pick and roll with intent. It's a simple thing for basketball, but when you get a pick and roll and you actually rub off your the pick setter and make to look to make something happen, you either make something happen for yourself, which certainly happened for Devin Hall, or others. I mean, Hall, you look here at at the 6 minute and 30 second mark, Cans are in the penalty. And that's all due to Juwai. When Juwai caught the ball, Jawa. When he catches the ball, I mean, guys just get fearful. His defender gets fearful. Guys help off. They double. The Bullets did not look good in this game. I've just got my notes here. Bullets look limp. And the commentators were saying it too. Nate Jawa assisted on two threes in sort of this quarter. One was a handoff to Devin Hall, who kind of made it happen for himself, coming off a handoff and just smacked the three. The other one was an in-out to Kenny. He caught it down low, took a couple of dribbles. Guy dug down, kicked it out, three-point shot. There was a plus 15 rebounding margin going into the fourth quarter in favor of Cairns. It just says in this league, it's not a cupcake league. You can't sit Cam Bester. Was it a mistake? Would he have helped? I think so. Hodgson's a really good center, but Besto's a lot bigger. I think that would have helped a lot. What was funny is Brisbane, you know, Devin Hall got super hot, as I said, had the, you know, what, 30-plus points, 24-plus points, and they didn't carry a hand. They you had to see he was having the game of his life and take it out of his hands, didn't do it. Didn't even carry a hand when he was got hot. He had a massive three in the face of, I think, Kadee or Glidden, one of the two. So in that quarter, Cairns shoot 6 of 8 from 2-point range, 6 of 10 from 3-point range. They just blew them out of the water. And that was it. So Cairns get their second win of the year. Good for them. Next game was on Friday, 4th of January. It was Adelaide versus New Zealand. Adelaide went down on this one, so Brisbane kind of got a reprieve, dropping that bad game to Cairns. But then Adelaide back it up by dropping it to New Zealand. Scoring pretty even. Adelaide had a nice second quarter when they outscored New Zealand by 7. But the big thing was, again, third quarter. And Adelaide have done this a couple of times where they take leads into the third and drop them. Adelaide scored 18 points in the third quarter to New Zealand's 29. And then New Zealand followed that up in the fourth quarter with a plus 5 margin. You look here for Adelaide, thumbs down was, let's start with the positive. Nathan Sobey, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 50%, but shot 1 of 3 from downtown. You know, shot well from the inside, must have had looks from the outside, just couldn't hit him. Harry Froehling had a good game, 14 points, 5 rebounds, 57%. Brendan Tice, 14 points, 70% for the field, you know, high shooting, must have got nice touches in the paint. I didn't watch this one, I only watched the highlights, unfortunately. Thumbs down, though, were the two imports for Adelaide. Demetrius Conger, 3 points, 1 of 11, 9%. 8 rebounds in 21 minutes, had a few fouls. Jacob Wiley, you know, I love that guy and his energy, but it just didn't happen for him in this one. 8 points, 3 of 9, 33%, 1 rebound, 2 turnovers. Not his game at all. I tell you, going the other way, the imports for New Zealand played great. In particular, the big guy Sean Long, who is the poster child for this round's episode. You might see him in the thumbnail. Sean Long, 28 points, 57% from the field, 18 rebounds, 77 of them offensive. So 11 defensive rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds, 3 blocks, some of them really big, in 35 minutes. In his last game against Adelaide, he scored 5 points and had 4 rebounds with foul trouble. He didn't get in foul trouble in this one, and he absolutely killed this team. He looked really big. Anyway, moving on, Patrick Richard, 18 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 6 of 6 from the 3-point line. Helps when you do that. Biggest team stat discrepancies, shooting percentage for Adelaide. So Adelaide were 32 of 81 for 39%, 8 of 31 for 25%. 26% from 3-point. New Zealand, 51% from the field, 50% from 3-point line. So they hit 10 of 20 threes and 40 of 78. So they just shot well. You know, and I didn't really see an Adelaide or a team that they're either going to outshoot you because they're not going to out-defend you. So it's just kind of the way it went. Wesley, Sean Long, and Patrick Rashard dominated the third quarter for New Zealand. Long had 4 points. Rashard had 9 points, all threes. And Wesley had 6 points, pretty much just all jump shots and layups. Adelaide, luckily, Brisbane lost that game before against Cairns, so they're still hovering around fourth seed, I believe. We'll talk about the latter at the end of the program. Saturday, Illawarra played Sydney, and this was on Channel Go. This is a 2:50 Saturday game. Illawarra was sixth in the league coming into this one. Sydney first. Illawarra 7-10. Sydney 11-5. Illawarra get up to win this one 78-71. It was Rob Beveridge's 300th NBL game. Capped it off with a win. We look at the scoring breakdown. Really pretty even through all the quarters except the second. Illawarra 19-11. Top performers, Andrew Bogut was really good in this one. 8 points, 67% from the field, 19 rebounds, two of them offensive, but he is a vacuum cleaner on the defensive rebounds. Six assists, four blocks, three turnovers, 33 minutes, which is a lot for him. So he's starting to get his minute impression up. Kevin Lish was the guy for Sydney. He was the only one making things happen in the fourth. 19 points, 5 of 13, 38.5%. So not a great shooting, but in the fourth, he didn't miss. 31 minutes. Thumbs down was David Ware. 2 points, 1 of 7, 14%, 2 rebounds, 1 assist in a decent amount of minutes. He's a toughie. You know, a lot of people have sort of said Sydney want more from that impound spot, and looking at that stat line, you probably would. Watching the game, he's a guy who defends well, he moves well, he's okay taking a backseat to Bogut and Randall. Bogut defensively, Randall offensively. Mild-mannered kind of guy who I think is getting kind of lovingly overrun by his teammates. You know, super competitive guys like Newley, Lish, Randall, Bogut. And I guess Kickett. And Kickett seems to have a better energy with the Kings consistently. They seem to prefer to play with him. He ends quarters, which is, you can kind of go with either one of them. But anyway, Illawarra had big performances from Tim Conrad, who had 18 points, 60% from the field, 5 rebounds in only 17 minutes. And Brian Conklin was big in this one, especially in the fourth, being really strong hands, hit some shots, layups, free throws to end it. 17 points, 60% from the field, 12 rebounds, 3 assists in 21 minutes. It's just a team effort by Illawarra. Their young guys did well, Greta and Nah, who I like. Derek Rucker on Twitter was very critical of the refereeing in this game, and I am too. We'll talk about it later. Biggest team stat discrepancies, free throws. Illawarra, 21 of 26, 80%. Sydney, 21 of 31. 67%. Turnovers, Illawarra only committed 7, Sydney with 12. Bench points, Illawarra 40, Sydney 20. That's a bit of a false stat because, you know, Beveridge puts some of his better guys off the bench and does all kinds of funny stuff. But still, it shows that, Illawarra, where the guys get bench, come off, start one game, come off the bench. They're a good little team. Beveridge gets them playing well. But what I was saying before, with the turnovers and the free throws, like if you're a team like Sydney, you cannot miss that many free throws, 10 free throws, really. And you cannot commit more turnovers than your opponent. You're a slow team. You're a defensive team. You got to secure the backboard, which they do a okay job of at times, modest. But you can't turn it over. And they did both of those things. Let's go to the fourth, where this game kind of really got in. Sydney didn't start either Randall or Bogut, and for the first 2 minutes, it was terrible. It had Adnam, Bowen, Pino, and others with Lish out there, and they just couldn't get anything. They were running their shuffle offense, which just gets them absolutely nothing. 2 minutes into the game, Randall and Bogut come in, Lish and Pino go out. Bowen missed 2 free throws. You know, he's a player who's better than that. And then after missing those, I think turned it over and in comes Brad Newley. I don't think you can meddle around with the start of fourth quarters as much as that. I know it's only a couple of minutes, but you had to bring him in sooner. The 6 minute and 23 second mark was when Sydney got its first score of the fourth quarter. Huge drought. They just didn't come out of the third quarter well at all. 5:15 was a bad out of bounds call that went against the Sydney Kings. I think Ware got a rebound and had it smacked out of his hands by Conklin. And the refs just called it the other way when it shouldn't have been. So that was one bad call. Keep your numbers at home. Kevin Lish, the 4 minute, 50 second mark, the score is 62-59 after Kevin Lish hits a three. We play a little bit more at the 3:46 mark. It gets down to a 1 point game again after a Kevin Lish three. Conklin was big in the fourth quarter. I think he had a bunch of points, free throws, layups. At the 1 minute and 42 second mark, Newley steals the ball, layup. He gets fouled, misses the free throw. Picked it off Blanchfield, who was also a former King, and took it the other way. But, Newley, you got to hit that shot. You got to crush the crowd. Missing that shot left the crowd in the game, left Illawarra in the game. 53 seconds left. There was a bad call on Lish for two foul shots for Jordan Jett. Jordan Jett came down the lane. It was a crowded lane. No one had hands in. Guys were straight up. He fell over, and they called it on Lish, and it just wasn't the case. Just wasn't a foul. Jordan Jett went, I think he made one of them. Kevin Lish then went to the foul line, so he had, a lot of points in this game. So this is where we get to the big news of this game, is the unsportsmanlike foul on Andrew Bogut on Brian Conklin down the paint. I just didn't see it as an unsportsmanlike foul. And I know Derek Rucker certainly didn't see it as an unsportsmanlike foul. It felt like the referees really wanted to get their fingerprints on this game, and they did. So Conklin kind of got the power, got Bogut in the air. Bogut could have absolutely killed Brian Conklin. I thought he was very light. He wanted the foul, but it wasn't an unsportsmanlike foul. There wasn't head contact. He just hit him really hard on the hands. There wasn't even a wind-up. But more than anything, even if there was, or kind of looking at what there was, as refs, you've just got to say, we're not going to leech the fun out of the game for the fans. Calling this unsportsmanlike. Sure, give Conklin his 2 points, his two foul shots, and subsequently 2 points, but don't give him the out of bounds as well, because that just really crushes a team in the fourth quarter. And Sydney just never quite got back from that. And it was so gratuitous and unnecessary from the referees, who they looked inexperienced. They sort of called it black letter of the law. Even still, they totally overreacted to Conklin. That Conklin really sold them on the call, and good for him, but as refs you got to be better. And hopefully the NBL pulls them aside and says, be your own reffing team, don't listen to the players. So then Conklin goes to the line on that, hits two, then the play comes in and he's smacked in the face by Kevin Lish, and he goes and hits another two foul shots. 4 point swing. What should have been just a two foul shots, gives him two more, and that was the game. Randall at the very end missed an open Kevin Lish down the court on a heave, sort of to get back into this one, but the scoreboard pressure was too big. It was not a play that was a bad decision. It was kind of over at that point. You needed a miracle either way, and Illawarra got the miracle, 78-71, and they notch up a win against Sydney. It just shouldn't have happened. Next game was on Sunday. New Zealand played Perth. New Zealand was 7-9 coming into this game. Were they? Hang on. Were they 7-9? They were 7-9, and Perth were 12-6. New Zealand were the favourites in this one. That's a long way to go, all the way from Perth to New Zealand. I'm guessing anywhere from 6 to 8 hour flight. Looking at the stat discrepancy, so Perth jump out to a 7 point lead. New Zealand then claw back three in the second quarter, and then again the third quarter is the big one for New Zealand. 26-13, outscored them by 13 points, and then they outscored them 24-20 in the fourth. 97-84, they take it. Sean, let's look at the big performers. Sean Long, 33 points, 6 rebounds, 70% from the field, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line, 6 of 8 free throws in 29 minutes, and he had a massive block on Mitch Norton at the hoop, just volleyballed it into the backboard. Last game against Perth, he had 9 points and 11 rebounds. Ty Wesley had a good game in this one too. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 82% from the field. Like they just outshot Perth. Perth are a good defensive team, but this game to me showed Perth that you can play all the defense you want, guys still hit shots. You can control a basketball game when you have the ball. It's the only time you have control. Defense, you can kind of force guys to give it up and force a few situations that you like, but ultimately you've got total control of basketball when you're the offensive team, and Perth just didn't have enough offense. Bryce Cotton, 27 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 42%, 5 of 5 from free throws. He did his part offensively. Tariqo White, 16 points, 5 assists, 54%, 0 free throw attempts. So I'm going to talk about the free throw attempts later. Damian Martin in his, 300th game, I think him and Beveridge have played and coached the same amount, didn't have as good a game. I think he had 2 points, 1 of 7, missed a bunch of shots, 7 points, 7 rebounds, but yeah, 2 points or something. Just couldn't be his day. Too bad for him. Biggest team stat discrepancies, field goal percentages. New Zealand shot 50% from the field, Perth only 38. Fouls, 13 to 20. And that comes down to two things. One, no one could stop Sean Long, and they were fouling him as a result. He got 8 foul attempts, free throw attempts, amongst others. But also, Perth were not attacking the hoop. 13 fouls, that's basically 3 and a bit a quarter. It's not enough. In 10 minutes of play each quarter, 3 fouls, really? That's how many you're going to draw on an opponent? Not aggressive enough. Points in the paint, here we go, 44 to 22. Getting in the paint is an aggressive business, but getting in the paint opens up three-pointers. That's exactly what it did. Free throw attempts, this is what I was going to talk about. So Sean Long had 8 alone, almost as many as the entire Wildcat team. New Zealand shot 19 of 28, 67% from the foul line. It was 28 attempts to Perth, 9. They hit 8 of them for 89%, but only 9. That's plus 19 free throw attempts for New Zealand. It just shows they were bigger, stronger, aggressive, catching defense off guard. Perth, you know, they're struggling. Thumbs down for Angus Brandt, 7 points, 7 rebounds, 33%, only 2 free throw attempts, no blocks. Nick Kay, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 40%, 0 free throw attempts, 1 block. Damian Martin, 2 points, 1 of 9, 0 free throws, 25 minutes. You know, what do you do? You know, Bryce Cotton had 27, Tariqo had 16. They lost by 13 points. Do you want both of those guys to score in the 30s? Is that what you're basing your team around? It's 2 imports doing all your scoring? You know, for New Zealand, it was Sean Long again. But, you know, Ty Wesley was their next top scorer. In their game previously against Adelaide, it was Rashad. You know, so you need to get a spread of scoring. Again, the bench for Perth didn't do a heck of a lot. Mitch Norton came in, gave good minutes, but, you know, he's a driver. He doesn't spread the floor for you, which can always make it difficult for guys. Tom Jervis came in off the bench. He had 2 fouls. He had 2 free throw attempts, bunch of fouls, couldn't stop Sean Long. I've got here Perth are lacking offensive athleticism and aggression. They're a great defensive team. They always have been. Probably always will be. But someone's going to start stepping up and being able to play two ways. Like Clint Steinle's a nice shooter, but you got to play defense. You got to move your puppies. And he finds it hard. And, you know, Reese Vague, same thing. So until they can get some consistent scoring from their bench and bench players who come in and attack the hoop, Perth are in a wee bit of trouble. But, you know, yet again, having said all that, they were not the favourites to win this game. Sportsbet had New Zealand at $1.65, Perth at $2.25. So they weren't the favourite and they didn't win. But they let Sean Long get off when they've got good bigs. Perth will be circling New Zealand on their calendar next time they go there or come into town. Next game was on Sunday, 6th of January, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Brisbane versus Melbourne. I watched this whole thing live. Brisbane were $2.05. Melbourne, the favourites, $1.78. Brisbane won this one, 95 to 86. DJ Kennedy didn't play for Melbourne. He was out with a car crash. Antonio Davis Jr., the new import into the NBL, the son of Antonio Davis Sr., the Toronto Raptor, Indiana Pacer, Chicago Bull player, came in. I've got my notes here. So, love Hodgson's motor in this game. He just ran like a gazelle. I thought he really... Josh Boone was sucking the air by the end of this game. Quarter number one, 4 minute, 19 second mark. Chris Goulding drew a foul. He flops. KNBL refs, he flops. Don't reward the flop. The flop was rewarded early, and as a result, a lot more bodies hit the floor in this game. Goulding went at Glidden from the start. Glidden was on two fouls, but Goulding got into foul trouble later on this one as two. Let's go to the stats, and we'll come back to what I thought about the game. So I've been down on Jason Gadee. I was down on him just before, earlier in the round, but he had a great game. He stepped back up and stepped up big in my estimation. He had 14 points on 55% shooting, 3 of 7 from downtown, 9 assists. He was setting up everyone and controlling this game. As much as it was kind of Glidden and Hodgson doing the scoring, I felt Kadee really had a feel for this one and really had his print on it. Cam Glidden, 16 points, 66% from the field, 4 of 5 from 3-point arc, so he got it back after a bad one. And then Hodgson, as I spoke about before, 17 points, 70%, 8 rebounds, 1 block. Josh Boone, ouch. Casper Ware was pretty good in this one, 29 points, 47%, 3 of 12 from the 3-point line. Chris Goulding went out with foul trouble, and he had to shoulder a lot of the offensive burden, especially with Kennedy not playing. And 3 of 12, that reeks to me of a guy who's putting up a lot of shots because he had to, and a lot of them were not perhaps his best shots. Craig Moller, 11 points, 7 rebounds, stepped up pretty good. You know, DJ Kennedy was out. There were minutes on offering, and you know, he played okay. Mitch McCarron, I thought, was really good in this game. Really just, he's a nice little player. 12 points, 66% from the field, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. That's a good NBL stat line for a guy who can't shoot. You know, offensive rebounds, pushes the ball, runs well, fills lanes, defends well. Nice little player. Thumbs down in this game, Josh Boone. And I feel bad giving him the thumbs down because I think he's hurt. He missed a lot of shots around the hoop that were just gimmies, and he was not getting off the floor. And it was a real juxtaposition between Matty Hodgson running the floor and dunking and feeling good and looking good, and Josh Boone not doing that. Not being able to do that by the look of it. He had 8 points, 3 of 12 from the field. He didn't shoot outside the keyway. Most of them were, you know, above and over his defender. 11 rebounds, most of them defensive, 0 blocks, 2 turnovers. I worry about him. They've got more out of Pledger. I'd rest him. I just don't know what's, maybe it's mental. I think it's physical. Give him a break, get him in the ice bath, because he's a good player, and he's looking hurt. Not much else to say. Going back to the notes in this one, Mitch McCarron made a bad mistake in the fourth quarter, doubling down off of Adam Gibson, who caught it and knocked a three. Gibson was really good in this game. Adam Gibson is the type of player who, if you could put him on Perth, would help them so much. A guy who can come in and play Damian Martin's minutes when he doesn't have it. Can shoot, pass, so quick, so clever and just solid. There's a bad call on Mika Vekona in the post against Boone. What have I got here? Patterson is the best one-on-one player in basketball. His poise is amazing. He can just take guys and just twist them and spin them and shoot over the top, and his pull-ups and his fadeaways is amazing. One nice little play from Melbourne all game. They were doing little setup rub picks, so where they'd have the smaller guard setting picks on bigger people from behind to get mismatches. Happened all the time. The big example was in the fourth quarter at the 3 minute and 26 minute mark. Got Barlow an easy look down low where I forget who set the screen. I think it was Casper Ware. Casper's man had to switch on to Barlow. Height mismatch. That drew the double. Dished off to Boone, who got an easy look down low and got one of his few points of the game. This is the game. I've put an asterisk next to this play. This is the play that wins it, right? It's relatively close in the fourth. Goulding had foul trouble and sat a lot, but you know, Casper Ware was keeping him around. at the 1 minute and 58 minute mark, Lamar Patterson twists up Goulding. Goulding is toast. He gets by. Boone comes, steps up to help. There's no rotation defender from Melbourne. Patterson naturally makes a little dump bounce pass to Hodgson, who grabs the ball, who dunks the ball, gets the foul. Chris Goulding fouls out and makes the foul shot. The score goes from being 81 to 77, 4-point game, to 84 to 77. And from there, it's over. And Brisbane then go on to just milk the shot clock, the scoreboard pressure to a 95-86 win. And Brisbane are looking like they're in the top four, maybe. Monday night, Cairns 2-14 after a big win over Brisbane, hosted Sydney. Sydney came out and smashed them in the first quarter. Cairns were just immature. It's an immature team. In the first quarter, 18-29 in favour of Sydney scoring. And then from there, it was just sort of plodding along and came pretty good. Cairns did come back in the game, but it was that first quarter. If they'd just played well then, they wouldn't have had a trouble. Bogut played all of quarter one, and it showed. Jawai had a good game. If we look at the scores, let's go to the thumbs up and everything. Nate Jawai, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. That was a career high for him. Cairns looked good when the ball was up, off the floor, into him, see what happened, and then make a move. And got a lot of threes, got a lot of handoffs, little dump passes. Tested Sydney's second rotation. I think that was important. Obviously Sydney have got Bogut. Engage him in the initial play and then make your second pass. Mello Trimble was big in the fourth quarter and the second half. He really didn't have a good first quarter and second quarter. But came back to finish with 22 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. For Sydney, Julius Randle, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 37.5%, not his best shooting night. Lish had 18 points, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line, 2 steals. Yeah, he was good again. And then Bogut had a beautiful game of 15 points, 7 rebounds. 15 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists. 5 of 7 from the foul line, so he was aggressive in the paint. And shot his free throws and made him 1 block in 31 minutes. I've got here where David Ware was unlucky to see fourth quarter minutes. He came out at the 2 minute and 53 second mark for Kickett. He was playing all right, but Kickett made some nice plays down the stretch, which changed my opinion of that by game's end. Biggest team stat discrepancies. Go back there. Bogut had a big stat line, but did most of his damage in the first half. 12 points, 10 rebounds in the first half. So only scored 3 points the rest of the way and grabbed 7 rebounds. But he was beautiful in this game. Let's go to the biggest team stat discrepancies. Offensive rebounds, Cairns 17 to Sydney 5. We've spoken about this before. Anyone who's watched their games has spoken about this. Sydney concede offensive rebounds because Bogut's so committed to help defending. Sydney, you've got, when you see Bogut go to a guy, you've got to rotate around. And then your little guys, you've got to be prepared to scramble out on the 3-point line if that happens. But 17 to 5, it shouldn't happen. Points in the paint, Cairns 50 to Sydney's 34. It's a lot more. 3-point field goals. Cairns shot 7 of 29, 24%. Sydney 6 of 18. A lot more attempts for Cairns because of those offensive rebounds. When you give up rebounds, you give up threes. 2-point field goals. Just field goal attempts. Cairns were up 15 shots. It's very lucky for Sydney to get out of a game in which they give another team 15 extra shots, a potential 30 points, and still come out with the win. So that's how well they play defense. But gosh, they got to protect the rebound, protect the backboard. Let's go to the fourth quarter in this one. So I'm actually going to do, coming up on the YouTube channel, the NBL Pocket Podcast YouTube channel, I'm going to do a real dissection of this play. There was the 2 minute and 43 second mark of the fourth quarter to the 1 minute and 43 second mark of the fourth quarter was the minute that won this game for Sydney. It showed Sydney's every strength, skill, and weakness in that one period, in 1 minute. And either their strengths in that 1 minute are going to carry them to a championship, or their weaknesses in that 1 minute are going to cost them. And that is the question. So what happened was Sydney made that substitution, bringing on Kickett for David Ware. It was at the 2:43 mark. So what happens is 2:43, Cairns come down. They get a shot. It's not a good one. It's a Lucas Walker fadeaway jump shot over Bogut, who's got it so well contested. It's not going to happen. The shot misses. It falls to Mello Trimble, who got the rebound for two reasons. One, Randall wasn't paying attention. And two, Brad Newley was nearby. But, you know, it's hard to tell on the angle. Could have leapt for it, could have gone for it, but just wasn't in position either. But mainly because Randall didn't block out. Mello Trimble gets it, lays it back in, puts Cairns up 77-76. They take a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter in under 3 minutes. Now, most teams would fall to water, but Sydney have got some real experience on the floor. Randall is 31 years old in year 4 of NBL. Lish is 32 in year 8. Newley, 33 years old, year 6 in the NBL. And Kickett, 35 years old, fifth year in the NBL. And Bogut, obviously his first year in the NBL, but 34. These guys are not intimidated by a 1-point deficit in the fourth. They come down. Randall calls a play. Now, I don't think Gaze actually calls this play. I think Randall actually calls it on the fly, or they just know they're going into it. They come down. Randall gives it up to Kickett. At the same time, Bogut sets an up screen on Lish and nails his defender, absolutely hangs him up. Lish cuts down to the keyway. Lish actually gets open, but Kickett doesn't make the pass. It's a bit too risky. Kickett kicks it along to Bogut, who's at the very top of the three-point arc. Bogut catches it, moves it on over to Newley. At the same time, Bogut is making the move over to Newley. Lish is setting an up pick for Kickett, who'd just given the ball to Bogut. Kickett starts to cut. Kickett's man is totally hung up, and therefore the smaller man has to rotate onto him, Lish's defender. So Lish has now got Lucas Walker on him, and Kickett has got the smaller defender in Kenny, I believe. Kickett takes the smaller man down to the post. He takes two dribbles. Nate Jawa steps up to commit, leaving Bogut open. Lucas Walker has to drop down to cover that pass. Otherwise, you get an easy dunk. Kickett makes the pass out of the post. It's not an easy pass from the low post on the right-hand side to Lish on the left. Lish is wide open. Lish catches, shoots. As the shot clock expires, the ball goes through for three. Sydney go back up 77-79. That was the play that won it. Cairns come back down. There's no real semblance of a play. They take a shot within 13 seconds. They get a shot. I think it's Lucas Walker again for three after 13 seconds of the possession. They miss. Sydney rebound, come down, run the exact same play. But this time it's different. None of the picks kind of work, and Randall has to catch at the top and dribble around a Bogut high pick and gets a jump shot, an open one. So that's kind of where we're at with Sydney. They're a really experienced, good team. And the other thing that a lot of people won't talk about, Mello Trimble had a good game, but he gave up a really bad backdoor cut to Randall late in the fourth as well. Bogut caught at the high post. It was off an inbound into Bogut. Bogut held it for a second. Mello Trimble was not between the man nor the ball. And Randall saw it, caught it, got it. Good. Sydney win. Cairns take another loss. Mello Trimble's great at putting up stats, but his commitment to the little things needs to improve if they're going to win more games. And that was the round that was. Great round at NBL. So many upsets. You never know what's going to happen. Close games for the most part. Some really tight finishes. You know, Sydney, number one team, losing to Illawarra, then getting close to Cairns and being there. It was great. So that was round 12. Let's move on to the ladder watch. So at the end of round 12, going into round 13. On top of the ladder is the Sydney Kings, 12-6. Second on the ladder is Perth Wildcats, 12-7. Third on the ladder is Melbourne United, 11-7. Fourth is Brisbane, 10-9. Fifth is Adelaide, 9-9. Sixth is the New Zealand Breakers, 8-9. Seventh is the Illawarra Hawks, 8-10. And then sadly, in the last place by a long way is the Cairns Taipans, 2 wins, 15 losses. League news, the City jerseys have come out. My pick for the best one is the Perth Wildcats. The West is best. Perth, Sydney and Melbourne all have really nice jerseys. The one in Brisbane is a little too similar to the Golden State Warriors, which I really resent. You know, the Perth Wildcats did a really good job. They made something unique. Don't just copy what other people have done. The other ones are okay, but those ones have nice colour schemes, nice logos. So really well done to Perth on that one, whoever designed it. Round 13, Thursday at 7:50 p.m. Illawarra are going to play host to Adelaide. I'm going to make my pick as I don't think Adelaide are going to bounce back and win that one in Illawarra. Why not? Friday, 11th of January, 7:43 p.m. Sydney play host to the New Zealand Breakers. Bogut and Sean Long, both in great form, coming up against each other. Sydney are the favourites, $1.56 according to sportsbet.com.au. I'm going with Sydney. I think I want Bogut to stop Sean Long. I want Sean Long to have a good game. I want Bogut to stop. This is going to be the test of offence versus defence. Bogut's got his work cut out. He better get on the treadmill because Sean Long's a handful. Friday night at 9:53, so after that game, it's Perth Cairns in Perth, and Perth will win that one. Saturday, 2:50 p.m. on Go, Adelaide play host to Brisbane. So Adelaide have just played the Thursday night before, so they've only got one day of rest. Travelling back from Sydney, not a huge thing, but I think Brisbane are going to win. They're not favourites. Sportsbet.com has them at $2.25. They're going to be rested. They're going to be ready. I think Brisbane are going to come out. Kadee versus Sobey. What a matchup. Sunday, 2:50 p.m. again on Go, free-to-air TV. Sydney play host to Illawarra. They seem to do this every week. I think Sydney are going to win that one at home. I think they're going to learn from their mistakes and not come out flat. Come out ready. Sunday, 5:20 p.m. Cairns play host to Melbourne. I think Melbourne wouldn't have a problem beating them, especially considering how well rested they're going to be. I mean, gosh and bother with the NBL guys, who knows? You know, you've got a better chance of figuring out who's going to win by picking, you know, which logo would beat the other in a fight. You know, Hawks versus Magpies, you'd probably take the Hawks in that one. Sydney Kings versus Breakers, well, Breakers are waves. If you're a king, you can't swim, you're in trouble, but you know, the king owns the land, so I'll say the Kings. Wildcats versus Snakes. Ooh, that'd be good. Wow, Adelaide versus Brisbane. Bullets, gosh. I don't think a Magpie has a chance against Bullets. And then the Kings, the Illawarra. Again, a King versus a Hawk. I think you'd get the King would win. He'd have some sort of hunting prowess. And then the Snakes versus United. I don't even know what their logo is, but they sound unified, so that's handy. Guys, that is this episode. Oh, just quietly, with my picks, if you go with Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne this week, that sports bet multi will pay you $23.21. I'm not confident about it, but whatever. Guys, like, subscribe, and review on iTunes. The YouTube channel also, the NBL Pocket Podcast YouTube channel also has these episodes on there. I'm also releasing a video in a series on YouTube called NBL 2K19, in which an NBL team may or may not make its way to the NBA. Which one will it be? Who knows? Find out. And I'm also going to be dissecting that play I spoke overly long about in the Sydney Kings Cairns game in a segment I'm breaking down things called Minutes That Matter. Twitter. Find me at Twitter on @mblpodcast.com. I had a lovely conversation about skill versus execution with Tom Hers on Twitter. Nice guy. Facebook and Instagram pending. I might put some stuff on there, who knows. And then, guys, a big reminder, download the NBL app. You won't regret it. You get highlights, you get stats. You won't have to listen to this program anymore. And the other thing, guys, is go to the games! Get tickets! Go! Take a friend. I'm going to be... Well, maybe I'll be at this week's round games. You know? Actually, screw it. I'm going to Sydney, New Zealand. and I'm taking friends with me. Do the same. Take your mother, take your sister, because if you don't take them to the games, I will. Guys, that is episode 5, round 12 of the NBL. I'll see you in round 13.